Hey friend, it's Monica here. Episode number 170. That's insane. And I think soon we are going to hit 2 years of podcasting. There's still no intro and no outro, and we're still going strong. But I digress. It is Monica here. I'm alone, and I'm going to talk to you about boundaries, communication, and habits. Sounds like a random mix, but it's not. And this is something that you, the folks who I have around me, need. It's happened not once, not twice, and not three times that in a conversation, whether in a fitness conversation with a fitness client, fitness conversation, all right, or in fitness business context, or with clients who do life performance coaching with me, it showed up. And one of those three, but they're very tight together. They are tight together. And I've talked about all these topics separately. The habit episode is number 7, and it's been 2 years. So I need to talk about this again so that I don't have to scroll all the way down sharing with you this episode. But in all seriousness, let's just take a new look at this topic from today's perspective. And perhaps I'm going to share something that I haven't shared with you before. Now, I don't remember what I talked about 2 years ago? So this is what it is. It's not that it's invalid. However, this is going to be richer in the new experiences and wisdom that I've accumulated over the last 2 years. And you bet that it's been a good, solid 2 years of development. All right, so let's start with habits. First of all, what seems to me to be the problem with habits in case of many of you is that you have it that a habit is smoking, or bad habit is smoking, or maybe you have it that bad habit is gambling, or perhaps drinking Coca-Cola, and you don't see that a lot of the things that you do in life are also habits that are not serving you. And you don't have it that these are habits, that these behaviors are habitual, and they require addressing the same way as you would address smoking, drinking Coca-Cola, or gambling. But somehow, I don't know where it comes from, but it's very clear to me that many times in conversations with you, you are not aware that some of these habitual behaviors are in fact your habits, your habitual behaviors. You just glue it to yourself like a sticker, like a label, and it becomes part of your identity, and you believe that this is just how you are. But it's not the case. It is what you do, and it is what you've done for a long time. That is not who you are. You are not a person who speaks negatively to themselves all day, every day. You do that, but that does not have to be a part of your identity. It doesn't have to be a label that you have. So let's talk about some habits that are not, perhaps they're not clear. It's not clear to you that these are habits and that they don't serve you and that you can work on them. And that you can work on them with the same exact strategy as the other ones, such as drinking Coca-Cola or smoking cigarettes. Not that any of you working with me smoke cigarettes, but you get my point. Negative self-talk. Big one. You talking to yourself about your body, about your abilities, just bashing yourself. That's a habit. That's a habit that doesn't work for you. I talked to a client yesterday in performance coaching session, and she goes, my body just liked the 181. So I asked her, that's the weight that she's at. She wants to be 160 or 165, so about 20 pounds less. And I said to her, do you give your body reasons to not like 181? And she started laughing. And here's the thing, think to yourself, are you someone who's bashing this body of yours, but you're not giving this body of yours any reasons to, one, be the way you want it to be, and two, to quite frankly, be nice back to you. You're treating that body of yours as your worst enemy, and then you're anticipating that it should be nice back to you. How crazy is that? Imagine that, if to personify the situation, the conversation, imagine that your body's your best friend. You're bashing it left and right. You're feeding it poorly. You're drinking. You're poisoning your body with toxins. And then you're like, oh, you're so fat. Why aren't you losing weight? Like, how crazy. And then you're like, why is this body not nicer to me, or it doesn't look better? Think about it. Would you treat not even your animal like that? Why are you treating yourself like that? So negative self-talk, bashing yourself, treating yourself poorly, all of this are habits. Okay? Scrolling on social media in comparison mode, habits. Looking at other people for hours. What are they doing? What are they eating? Where are they going? Who are they dating? Where are they going on vacation? What are they wearing? Are their nails done? What do they look like today? All habit. Does it work for you? Well, I mean, depends. Are you learning something from these people? Are you wasting your precious time that you could spend on doing something that actually benefits your life? And is this scrolling leave you feeling worse than before you started? That's a question for you. Are you watching the stories that people post the second they post them? I love, these are some folks who literally, I want to be like, do you have a job? Do you have a life? Because the moment I share some stories, the second I share them, these people are viewing them. And it's like, do you have Instagram open on repeat all day, every day? And that's what you do nonstop. Do you have a life? Do you have connections with your people? Do you have relationships? Do you work? Or are you scrolling all day long? Now, in that realm, also comparing yourself to people, whether in your life or in your online space, that is also a habit that oftentimes doesn't work. Now, it doesn't have to be, and I've said it before, that looking at other people and what they're doing, what they're accomplishing, who they're being in life, that doesn't necessarily need to be negative, because you can follow this as your guide of, oh, I really admire this person. I want to be more like that. Let me see if I can hire them. Or let me see if they have a book that I can read, or maybe a podcast I can listen to, or maybe I can join their community and I can work with them and I can become more like them in this one aspect that I admire. Great. But for many, it is just comparison mode that will leave you feeling worse about yourself and not grateful for the things you have. So that's another habit, comparing yourself to other people. Now, there are plenty of habits in regards to your beliefs, habitual beliefs, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, beliefs around money, beliefs around what's possible for you in your life. All of these are habits, because you habitually told yourself something. And this is kind of diving deeper in the negative self-talk, but you might not differentiate between negative self-talk being talking poorly about your body, about body parts, and also telling yourself that, hey, being in a happy romantic relationship is not something you'll ever have. That's all negative, habitual negative self-talk. Now, there's also negative, unworkable, quote-unquote, bad habits in a realm of communication. Oh my gosh, that's a humongous one. And this is something that's been showing up in conversations with clients left and right, whether in our sessions one-on-one or in conversations in writing or even on Instagram, in conversations with you. Talking about not being able to be straight with people. Straight as in communicate clearly, communicate with facts, not with stories, interpretations, assessments, and opinions, but straight communication with facts. Whether that be at work, with your employees, with your coworkers, with your partners or potential romantic partners, with your spouse, all of this. Communication is absolutely key. And now there are habitual things you'll do that don't work when it comes to communication. For example, silent treatment. What the heck is that? Do you think that if you get upset at someone and you go silent, that that is, and you're just throwing a hissy fit, that that is how a powerful human being reacts? Or is this like an emotional little chicken behavior? No, I'm serious. A leader, someone who aspires to create something in their life, that is not a way to be. And even if your leading is about few people around you, is just few folks that you have around, or creating something in your life is about you creating a romantic relationship, that still applies to you. Silent treatment and trying to show someone, you know, I don't use trying because there's no such thing. You either are doing something, you're not doing something. So trying, I'm already being kind of sarcastic here, because trying indicates that you're not doing it and you won't be successful in my mind here. You giving signs to someone, that is not going to be effective. And then you're surprised that they're not reading your signs. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm not a mind reader. And yes, I know people and I can kind of predict people's behaviors based on what they've given me before and based on their behaviors and communication and other things, body language. But in this case, it's still assuming. You need to be clear with people. And even if they're not clear with you back, you can only be in control and responsible for your own communication. So that's what you should do. I had a conversation with a client who was upset because she missed our session. She literally didn't show up to our session because she had a client, and the client had an hour-long appointment, but then the client stayed for 3 hours in the meeting with her. And she said to me, "Monica, I was so annoyed and angry, and I'm so sorry. I feel so bad and so stupid that I didn't show up for our appointment. But I kept like showing her that I'm done here. And I kept asking her, oh, so is there anything else? And she would keep going. And my client said, you know, I continued asking her, is there anything else? And she continued going. And I said to my client, you invited this. How is it that you don't see this? Instead of being like, our hour is up, is there anything else that we should address maybe 15 minutes before the session? Is there anything else we should address before our hour is up? And then the time's up. Thank you so much. Goodbye. And you're staying for 3 hours being annoyed that the person isn't, quote unquote, getting the memo. But in reality, you ask them, is there anything else? So they're answering by giving you everything else that there was. So you got exactly what you asked for. And she was like, well, I didn't want to offend her. I didn't want to be rude. It's not rude and it's not offensive, to be clear. In fact, in yesterday's session with another client, I said to her, you know, people think a lot of times that yes is a great answer. The middle is like, oh, I don't know you, blah, blah, blah. And then no is the bad one. You don't want to say no. But in reality, when you look at it, yes and no are equally powerful. And the weakest thing is to be, meh, 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 I don't know, maybe I'm trying, meh, 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 meh. That is weak and that is low and that is something that will guarantee you not get the results that you want. And it doesn't matter if the result is the business of your dreams, if the result is the relationship of your dreams or life of your dreams as a whole, or fitness, doesn't matter. You will not be a powerful human being. You will not be able to create the results you want if you cannot be straight, yes or no. That's it. The no isn't bad. Is it wrong? Declining or saying no to people isn't mean. It's just being straight in communication. And so you ask me in one-on-one setting, how? How? Just the same way as you are straight with me. The only reason you're not straight with the other people is because you made up some stories. You've made up some stories about them or about what they will think of you or what they will, where will that no or being straight lead in the conversation or in the relationship. And I can tell you one thing. Being straight will take you places. Being in a fog, being not clear, being not straight, being wishy-washy, withholding communication will guarantee you frustration, more drama, more gossip, and more, as I call it, La La Land. Because when you are not being very straightforward, you cannot anticipate other people to get where you stand. And if they don't know where you stand, they will make up a story or when you stand. Unless they're a powerful human being, they'll ask you. But, you know, if you are wishy-washy, chances are the people around you are also wishy-washy. And so then you have this swamp of like giving each other memos, signs, silent treatment. And this just, it feels heavy, it feels cloudy, it feels like a swamp to me. It feels like everybody's covered in mud and everybody is just blah, blah, blah. That's how it feels. This is not a pristine environment where you can say yes, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, and the person gets you. So the only advice that I have for you as a group, because obviously everyone is different, is that communicate clearly as if you are in court. In court, no one cares about your opinion, assessment, or judgment, or interpretation of a situation. The only thing that matters is facts. And that's how you want to communicate with people. Not like, I feel like la, 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 because you were awful and you were this and this. No. I did X because of you did Y, and this is what I decided to do. That's it. Powerful language. No giving someone signs, trying to give them a memo, because realize that you behaving a certain way, it might mean to you, maybe you grew up with parents who fought and then they gave each other silent treatment and then they forgot about their argument and then they came together like nothing happened. And this is maybe what you anticipate of other people. But that is only what you have as an idea. This is what you made up, that this is how things should go. But maybe for the other person, when you're being quiet, because they were raised in a different situation, different scenario, different relationships with different parents, for them, silent treatment isn't silent treatment. For them is, this person's quiet. They don't need anything. Everything is clear. Everything is fine. And so you have to, it's like you're speaking Chinese to someone who doesn't speak Chinese. You have to use your words and be clear in your communication. Now, the folks who will be able to handle your communication will stay around you, and the folks who will not will go. Remember that if someone doesn't, when someone doesn't have boundaries, the person with boundaries will occur to them as cocky, rude, harsh, mean. But that has nothing to do with the boundary. That has something to do with the person who doesn't have them. If you communicating clearly, if you're straightforward, if you're not wishy-washy, for someone who's not like that, this might be very intimidating. It might be very harsh. But again, that kind of person, if they will look at this way of being with admiration and wanting to be like this, they will remain around. If this is going to be too bright for them, too much light, too much to handle, they will drop off and be around people like themselves. And so, and this is an important point to notice here too, and to add that if you have people around you who do this, who communicate with signs, silent treatment, drama, gossip, interpretations, opinions, and other things like that, that's most likely because you are like that. And in order to break the cycle, you have to stop doing it. This is also habitual. This is also a habit. If you've done it like this for so long, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, it is normal, familiar, and very close to you. It feels comfortable. However, if you are recognizing that this way of being isn't giving you the results that you want, it is in your best interest to transform it. It is in your best interest to change it. And you are the only one who can change it for you. It's so tedious, but paying attention to your language, that's also a habit. The way you speak, it drives me nuts when I hear clients talk about their fitness efforts with figures of speech. You know this. If you've been around me for any kind of time, you know I'm trying. No, you are doing something or you're not doing something. If I'm sitting here on the floor talking to you, I'm not trying to stand up. I'm sitting. I'm not trying to speak to you. I am speaking to you. So you have to stop using I'm trying. There's no trying. Even if you're not successful, say, I am growing my business. I'm in the process of growing my business. You're not saying, I'm trying to grow my business. Well, if you are saying it, that means you're not successful. You're not doing it. If you're doing it, speak with conviction. I am doing it. All right. Now, in terms of other figures of speech, I threw my effort out the window. What? I fell off the wagon. Where's the wagon? Where's the wagon? Did you break your bones falling off the wagon? What else is there? I fell off track. I need to get back on track. I hate these. I don't use these. And I want you to hate them with me. And here's why. And again, I've talked about it so many times. It's so redundant, but we need to really get this. And it has to be repetitive. So you're not only, oh, I heard it from Monica, but like you don't say it. You correct yourself. You correct the people around you and you live a different way. When you use these figures of speech, this is also habitual, by the way, you dilute the responsibility. You give away your power to some sort of track and wagon. Because if I tell you this, I fell off the wagon with my exercise routine. What does that mean? What does it mean? First of all, you're wasting people's time because then now you have to, if someone really cares to dive deep and help you, now they have to ask you 17 other questions to clarify what you meant by falling off track with your fitness. But look at this. I stopped going to the gym and for the last week, I didn't do any workouts. Who is powerful? The person who fell off the wagon or the person who clearly, straightforwardly says what they stopped to do? What they didn't do with no blah 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 added to it also. So when you are using these figures of speech, you dilute the responsibility, you give away your power, you make yourself sound like you don't have a say in the matter of your fitness and health. And it's nonsense. You do. You have a say. You are the one responsible. You are at fault. The way your body is today, as you're listening to it, and it doesn't matter what I'm talking about, aka your bicep size, your butt size, your waist size, or your scale, that is because of what you are doing this moment and this moment and this moment. And when you say that you fell off the wagon or you threw your effort out the window or you're trying or some other nonsense of that nature, you want to make it sound, something else is guilty. Someone else is guilty. Something else that happened. But you don't realize in that moment that by doing so and wanting to blame something else or not say I did it or I didn't do it, you make yourself believe that you don't have a say, that you are not the one who can create the kind of change that you want. And so it sucks in the coaching relationship, but it also sucks for yourself. It really doesn't work for you to feel like you don't have a power over the most basic thing, which is what you do for movement and what you do for your food. Those are most basic things. When you speak this way, you make yourself unaware of the fact that you are responsible and this result that you have right now is your own doing, and it's great. And for those of you who are like, yes, I'm doing great, you can get on board with the body you have, the weight you have, the way you are, and everything else in your life, by the way, your partner, your bank account, and everything else, the car you drive, where you live, who you have around, your friends, everything, the cleanliness of your home, and everything else. All of this is your own doing. You did it. You made it this way. And I know the folks who have the results they like, they're like, yes, I did. Woo. And then the folks who don't like the results are like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. But, I broke my knee and Nobody broke their knee. My knees prevented me from exercise. And you know, my husband is messy, so this is why my house is messy. And you know, my bank account is this way because I have kids in college. I have to pay for their college education. Nonsense. All of it is all your own doing. Because even with a broken knee, you can still control your food. Even with a messy husband, you can still keep certain things in a certain way. But also, you are the one who picked up messy husband. So all of the things that we have around in our lives as our results are our own doing. And a lot of times, now how the communication applies is the habitual way you're talking about yourself, about the things you are going to do or you're doing or your goals is not working because you're using figures of speech. So that's that. And then let's segue to boundaries. And this is just going to be a quickie. Boundaries are for you to have people treat you the way you want to be treated. When you constantly have people walking all over you in your life, whether at work, your partner, your potential partners, your kids, other people, it's because you let them. It's because you let them. It's very interesting to me. I love, 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 love observing people and observing human relationships. And I don't have a ton of that going on in my life right now since I work remotely and I don't see people on a daily basis. But when I was at the gym, it was brilliant for me to watch people and watch people and how they behave and who they form friendships with and all that kind of stuff. And it's very interesting that as humans, it's a nonverbal thing. We know whom you can treat what kind of way. What kind of person requires what kind of treatment? And this reminds me of a lot, again, a long time ago when I worked at the gym, we only had female members, but on staff, we had a few male trainers. And I remember one day walking into the break room and I was tired. You know, I was competing in bodybuilding, so I was training 2-3 hours a day in addition to training clients, in addition to having my own clients on the side myself, meaning training programs for people online. Back then, we were talking 10 plus years ago. I remember walking into the back room in Brookline and just holding my head and kind of sitting by the table like, oh. And one of my male coworkers looks at me and he goes, oh, Monica, it looks like you need a hug. And I was like, no, I'm just tired. And that's it. And that made me think, because what my coworkers on regular basis did was, you know, they would all hug each other, slap each other's butts and just, you know, be very touchy-feely. Males with females, females with males. And I don't even want to dive deeper into all the other dramas that were going on back then, who slept with who and why and how, because I was not aware because I was working so much with clients that I never sat in the back room. But my point is this. It really made me think about which way and what kind of way am I being that this person, while hugging everybody else and slapping everybody else's butt, would ask me, Maka, do you need a hug? And I said, no, and that was that. Which things, what kind of way of being in my behavior and my being set the boundary that not only you don't come up to Monica to hug her for no reason or slap her butt like you do with other coworkers, but also you will ask her and you say no and you get that and that's that. We know as human beings, and it's an unsaid thing, who you can treat what kind of way. What will slide with someone and what will not slide with someone. With whom you can curse and with whom you don't curse. With whom you can slap their butt and with whom you don't. With whom you can treat them kind of like whatever, I'm going to be late for you or I'm going to forget our meeting. And with whom you will never do that. By the way, I don't ever forget our meeting or not show up for a meeting, but that's another story. We know. How do we know? Because we know what kind of person will be not okay with it. And then we have the kind of people who you're gonna slide it once, twice, three times, and they'll be totally fine with it. So what kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person that has people walking all over you all the time? Why is that? Do you set boundaries with people? Do you say how you want to be treated? Do you say how you don't want to be treated or spoken to? And then when people break your boundaries, what do? Do you talk to them again and again and again? Do you actually tell people how you want things done or around you? And when they don't, you just, all right, I guess that's how they are. Think about it. Think about it, because this is, again, part of the reason why you have the results that you have in your life. And the frustrations that come from people breaking your boundaries around you, those are big frustrations. But there's no one else to blame, again, other than yourself. I worked with a client last year who was in an unworkable marriage. And there's just a lot of fighting going on, a lot of arguments. And there were multiple children involved in that relationship, just lots and lots of turmoil. But this client didn't understand why her husband was not changing at all. He was not changing his behavior at all, despite the fact that she talked to him about it and talked to him about it and talked to him about it. But when we deconstructed these conversations, what happened was, and she realized this very quickly, is that he had no reason to change anything. Why? He was behaving how she didn't want him to behave. He was coming home either high, or he had some alcohol. He would be yelling at the kids. He would be aggressive. She would throw a fit. Okay, she would yell at him. She would yell back. They would have a big fight. And that would be it. And then it would happen again and again and again. She was mad at him. She would yell at him. And that was that. Now, what she realized was that she wasn't setting any boundaries. She thought that this was boundaries. That don't do it. You can't do it. This is ridiculous. Why would you do it? We have kids and you have to behave this way or that way. But what are the consequences? Why would he want to change? If I'm hitting you in the face, if I'm slapping you in the face, and you tell me, Marcus, stop, this is unacceptable. Okay, then I stop and then I continue slapping you. And then what? Nothing. I told her, you have to tell him what's going to happen if he's not going to stop. And then you have to go and execute. You can't just tell someone, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And that's it. You have to be able to not only say how you want to be treated, but also say that if you are not going to get that kind of treatment, or if you're not going to get that kind of situation you want, you will do X, Y, Z, whatever that might be. Divorce the husband, move out, take the kids, do something in this case, or whatever. It doesn't have to be obviously a relationship, but you have to not only say it, but also execute. If you are full of nonsense, and if you say, oh, if you're going to cheat on me, I'm going to leave you. If you're going to cheat, but then you're not leaving them, why would they change? Why would something change? There's no reason. And again, you're the only one then to blame. And of course, you know, there are nuances to every situation, but in the grand scheme of things, I think this whole thing here, the umbrella, is that you, as a human being, you are powerful. You have more power than you think you do. You can transform any habit that doesn't work for you. You can transform any communication habit that doesn't work for you. You can transform your relationships in your life by setting boundaries and executing on them. You are powerful, more powerful than you think. Saying yes, saying no, asking people how you want to be treated, and then getting it, or removing yourself from situations when you're not getting it, those are attributes of a powerful human being, of the person that you want to become, or the person that you're becoming. So practice those things, because without those, it's always gonna be, I'm trying. Now, habits, to finish and wrap it up, very simple bad habit solution. If, first of all, you have to be mindful, because when you're not mindful, you don't know what's going on. You're running on autopilot and you don't know what's happening, so you can't transform anything because you're just driving through life on autopilot. So you have to slow down and pay attention to what it is that you're doing. So that's number one. Number two, You have to be able, so slowing yourself down and paying attention. That's number one. Number two, you have to be able to break that internal chatter in your head. So say this morning, it's Tuesday morning and it's beautiful and sunny. And I love on days like this to close myself in the office and do some work and record content and just spend this time in the office. The days are still short because it's February. So my head goes there and says to me, how about you work out after work? But I know, and this is what you should know, is that you will never win this conversation in your head. You will never win the habit voice conversation. The habit of whatever, lazy, stay home habit or you know, something that wants you to be comfortable. That's the voice in the head, in my case. And I didn't start chatting with myself. I was just like, no, we're not having this conversation. We are not. There's not going to be a list of pros and cons happening in my head. There's no chatter in my head. No, we are not having this conversation. And move your attention and do something else physically. So I tidied up after breakfast and I got myself ready and I went to the gym. That's that. So for you, when you have the urge to scroll or when you catch yourself scrolling, we are not doing this. Boom, shut it off and go do something else. Go exercise instead of scrolling for hours. Go walk outside without your phone. That's it. So first, mindfulness. You have to become mindful and stop being on autopilot like a snowball that's rolling from a mountain. No, you have to slow down. Number two, you do not engage yourself in the conversation in your head of just a little bit, blah, 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 blah. You will lose it. You will lose the moment you start the chat, you lost it already. So don't. You can say out loud, we're not having this conversation right now. And then move yourself, move your attention and physically do something else. Ideally, something that's opposite of the thing that you didn't want to do. So for me, let's stay at home and do work instead of going to the gym. No, go to the gym. If you're scrolling, shut off the phone and do something positive instead. Move your body instead of sitting and scrolling. Read some books. Go on a walk outside. If this is around food, instead of picking that cookie, go and pick your food. Go get your meal. If this is around you having ice cream after dinner and you said you wouldn't because you're lactose intolerant and your goal is to lose weight, go and walk a little bit. Go and sit on your bike and pedal a little bit. Go on a walk. Go on a walk. Do something that's opposite of the thing that you wanted to do. That's it, friend. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. Thank you, as always, for connecting with me on social, sharing. And if this resonated with you, take a look in your head. Is there anyone else who could resonate with this podcast today's podcast? And lastly, I appreciate you being here. Give me some stars at the end. 5 is my favorite number. Give me a review. And then come to Tribe EBM. It is February. I already see that gym is getting empty. It is crazy how short-lived these New Year's resolutions are. So hit up my website, monicaamazur.com/free, and you can try BBM for 7 days for free. I swear to God, I can guarantee you results. If you only listen to what I tell you, when it comes to food and exercise, you will be successful and you'll see results like never before. Now, February is a perfect time to start because you already know that you didn't do things in January. So you already know that by yourself, you will not be successful. And there's plenty of time until summer so you can work on yourself now so that you can be very, very, very proud of your results when the time comes, when the clothes are going to come off. And the clothes will come off sometime soon. So let's get you going. Thanks for being here.